Awesome. Welcome to the Home and Family Culture Podcast, episode 98. I'm so excited. This is the podcast about how to have a deliberately design your intentional family culture. And I'm your host, Jody Chafee. Today on the show, I'm featuring Sandra Etherington. Sandra is the owner of Family Personalities, a business that aims to help families through the use of personality type. Sandra is MBTI and MMTIC certified, and has extensive experience working with families and individuals to help them understand themselves and their children using Myers-Briggs personality types. So today we'll be talking about personality typing for better understanding and honoring your child, personality typing for improving communication, empathy, and understanding across the family dynamic. Welcome, Sandra.
Hello, Jody. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you and talking about this, you know, because as you know, this is a podcast about family dynamics. It's about, you know, the way that we can intentionally, you know, nurture these kinds of relationships and, you know, the dynamics and the feelings that we want to have in our home. Because, you know, every family has a culture, whether by default or by design. And most of us are really just kind of on default, right? We're just going, okay, let's just keep putting out fires as they come. I don't really know what to do, you know? And so my goal and my hope is like, no, we want to create some more intentionality so we can get ahead of the game and start responding to things with intention and, you know, rather than reacting, we actually need to be proactive, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. And so I'm excited to have you here to talk about this because I do believe that understanding your children and their personalities, understanding who they are and getting to know them better does allow us to, like we said, we're going to talk about, you know, understanding the empathy and being involved in knowing who they are, right?
Yeah.
who should know them better than their parents?
Yeah. So, I'm glad you used the word empathy because that's a lot of it is if you understand where your child is coming from and how they're processing things, then you can really have true empathy.
Yeah. So how did you get to know this? Like, what was your inspiration? When did you know that, okay, I want to know and become certified in MMTIC? You know, this is like I asked you what that means before the recording. And I was like, you said it's basically the Myers-Briggs for children.
Yeah.
So it's exactly. Like, when did you know this is what I want to do? And this is my inspiration.
Yeah. I was originally introduced to the Myers-Briggs personality model when I was in the business world, and it's used and found a lot in that world for corporate trainings and teaching people how to work better together on teams. And when I first found my personality type, it just resonated so deeply and I became really, really interested in it and I used it in every aspect of my life. And then when I had children and became a stay-at-home mom, I just automatically, as they started growing and I started seeing their personalities bloom and come alive, I thought, I wonder if I can tell what their Myers-Briggs personality is. And what age that forms? Is it the same when they're a kid as when they're an adult? And I just became really curious in it. And it started as just kind of a hobby and looking into it and reading about it. And then eventually when my kids were a little bit more grown and I started to get in that itch, like, oh, I kind of want to go back to work. I thought, well, let me do something that I'm really interested in and passionate about. And so I went out and got all the certifications and here I am.
That's awesome. I love that you talked about how, you know, you started out in the corporate understanding this personality type and how it allows your teams to function better. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, we're our family, it's our team, right? It's like our ultimate team.
Yeah, totally. It's right? Your team and going through life together.
Yeah. And so I think that it's just as important. Like, that's one of the things that I think is so interesting. Whenever I talk about culture, you know, people are very familiar with like company culture, corporate culture. And it's like, well, our family has a culture that I think is really important to also learn how to cultivate. And what you're saying is like, personalities helped you to understand, okay, how can we work better together? And then you were able to bring that home and have that impact your family. And that's amazing. First of all, the other thing I wanted to say that I thought was really cool that you said that you watched your children blossoming. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like their personalities, as you have, you know, knowing these things about personalities that you do know, watching your children grow up, did you notice that, I mean, Are kids, there's like a theory, children are blank slates. No, they're born, you know, they're developed or no, you know what I mean? What is your take on that? Like, how did you see their personalities come out? Was it something that you saw? Was it nurture or nature? What was more prevalent?
Mm-hmm. So as far as Myers-Briggs is concerned, you're born with your Myers-Briggs preferences. It's a certain way that your brain works and that your wiring works. And that stays the same through your whole life. It doesn't mean that you don't grow and evolve within your type, but your type stays the same. Obviously, there's way more to a person than their Myers-Briggs personality type. So there's the way you're brought up and there's different parts of your personality. Myers-Briggs only tells you certain parts. And those parts I can't comment on, but I can tell you that my children came out the way they were and they are completely different from one another, despite being raised in the same home.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. So then have you, like I mentioned before, and I even posted in like, hey, I'm going to be talking about personalities with Sandra. And I just took a Myers-Briggs personality test. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember when I took it before, I was kind of in like a dark place and I was like, I don't know if this is going to be accurate, right? Like, yeah. How do I know if this is going to be like the way that I want to turn out? And then when I took it again this week, it was completely different from when that last time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm, you know, maybe I'm in a better place or maybe I've just been getting some more experience. What do you think impacts the results of the scores if they are different from when we've taken it before?
Yeah. So yeah, the online tests, they can be really fun and it's a fun starting point to understanding your personality type, but they're highly, highly inaccurate. And part of the reason is that it has forced choice questions. So for example, this is not actually one of the questions on there, but one of the things that Myers-Briggs measures is introversion versus extroversion. And so if you think of a question about that, they might ask, it's Friday night. Do you want to go out and party with a big group of friends, or do you want to stay in by yourself and read a book? And that is entirely dependent on your mood, right? The answer for me would be, it depends.
Yeah.
And so it really doesn't get that middle space. It's just black and white questions, and you really can't get to know a person's personality based on that. But it is a good starting point. Some people do get their types correct on the assessments. And I think over your life, you can get different results because you learn more about yourself and you answer the questions more accurately as you have more self-knowledge too.
Yeah. So that's an interesting point to bring up, because if you're trying to evaluate your children, but they don't have a lot of that kind of experience, you know, what are different ways that you can learn or take this kinds of tests or evaluate what would I answer if you don't really have experience to draw on?
Are we talking about kids or
in general?
Adults?
Yeah, in general. Like, I think that, let's say for kids first. So for example, you know, you're asking your child, like you want to figure out what their personality is or what they would do in certain situations, but they don't have experience to draw on.
Yeah.
How do you draw that out of them?
Yeah, well, with kids, it's really funny because especially when they're littler, they're kind of unapologetically themselves, aren't they? They're not moving through the world trying to please anyone else. They don't have, you know, a boss to answer to. They haven't been conditioned by society to be a certain way, by the education system, whatever else. They're just unapologetically themselves. And so actually with really little kids, it can be really easy to tell what they are. Because they just come right out with it. They're not trying to hide anything. They haven't pushed themselves to be another way that's not their natural way yet. So it can actually be really easy. And there's different behaviors you can observe in your younger kids to try and figure out their personality types. And I haven't yet, but I'm working on my website to have some free downloads where you can actually look at certain behaviors in children and try and figure out which personality preferences your child has.
Awesome. Awesome. So it's like, oh, they're actually, because they haven't had a lot of these experiences, because they haven't had conditioning to like change their personality in a way than younger kids, really, it's like a pure expression of who they are.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And do you have my website link below? It's www.familypersonalities.com.
I'll make sure to add it to the
comments. Within the next week or two, I'm going to have some downloads on there that are going to be totally free that you can look at.
Awesome. Go check out that website, you guys. That's going to be awesome. So that's an, so another thing I wanted to say about that, kids who have that pure expression, how can we, I don't know if you address this at all, but it's like, I almost want to be like, how can we like protect them from situations, or how do we help them to respond to situations that maybe are kind of trying to wear down that pure expression of themselves, you know? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that that's a really good question, because that's actually one of my major aims of my business, is understanding your child, who your child is at their core, and honoring that and helping them move through the world as themselves, in trying, instead of trying to be something else that's just going to wear them down, maybe even cause some mental health issues down the line.
Right.
And so I think just as parents, taking the time to understand their personality type and what they need, can be really helpful in that regard. I do an exercise when I do workshops where I bring in plants, just like little tiny potted baby plants. And I ask for volunteers, and I assign the plants to different people, and they're different types of plants, say like a tomato plant, some sort of flower, and then maybe a cactus, right? And then I ask everyone, if you could trade for a different plant, would you trade? And usually someone raised their hand like, oh, you know, I have the cactus. I don't want the cactus. I'd rather have the tomato plant because I can eat that. And maybe, you know, the flower says, I'd rather have the cactus because it's less effort to, you don't have to water it as much, whatever. Well, then I draw that parallel to our children. And sometimes there's aspects of our child's personality that it's hard to admit, but really rubs us the wrong way. We really wish they were different. I can say personally with my son, he's not naturally attuned to other people's feelings, and he's not naturally empathetic. And I just want him to like care about what other people want so much more than he does.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
one like that,
think about with the plants, if you had the tomato plant, but you wanted the cactus, what would happen if you started treating the tomato plant like it was a cactus? If you watered it the way you would water a cactus, if you put it in the climate that the cactus lives in, what would happen? Luckily, when we draw the metaphor back to the children, our children aren't going to die because we're not honoring their personality type. But they're just not going to be able to fare as well in the world because they're not getting what they need. Instead, you're giving them what you wish they were.
Yeah.
And so that ties back to personality type very powerfully. Who is your child? What do they need? Not, because I feel like when we parent, a lot of people go one of two ways. They parent the way their parents parented and the parents before them parented, and you just kind of pass it down because that's what you're used to. That's what you understand. Or they look at it differently and they say, I don't like the way my parents parented me. This is how I wish I was parented. And you parent that way. But the problem with that, and that's the way I started out parenting. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is that your children are not you. Like, my children are not the same as me, and they do not need the same things that I needed as a child. They need very different things than I needed. So really understanding them and what they need is central to what I like to do.
Wow. I love that, that being able to give them the things that they need. I love that analogy. Like, there's a third way to do it. You don't have to just do it the way your parents did, or just try to do what you think you would have liked growing up. There is, it's more of awareness or consciousness of what your children need. So what is your process for figuring that out, who your children are? You know, do we start with the test? Do we start with these worksheets or these activities? Where do we begin to figure out and learn about our children?
The best way to find out either your own personality type or your children's personality type is to work with a certified Myers-Briggs practitioner, because as I said, with the assessments, they're just inherently not going to give accurate results. So I do work with families. If you're interested in going to my website, www.familypersonalities.com, That's what I do, is working with the children and the adults. You can also, if you just want to start small and you just want to start checking it out, like I said, I'm going to have some downloads on my website. Instagram is a great place to follow me. Instagram.com/family personalities. I post a ton of stuff about kids and personality type, and people have a lot of fun in the comments, like, oh, Joshua's like this, but you know, my daughter's a different way. And so you can kind of browse around like that. You can always Google anything Myers-Briggs, especially for adults. There's tons of stuff out there. For kids, there's not as much out there, but.
Wow. Yeah. I was going to say, I second what your Instagram is really fun to follow. I like that you were putting, you know, there's different personality components in the Myers-Briggs. And like, if your child is judging, then this is what you should give them. If they're feeling or sensing, if they're introvert, extrovert, you know, those different, I like your recommendations for how to, you know, respond to your children and their needs when you found out like, oh, my child is, they're an introvert, so they can, they're going to need this and that. Or, you know, I think that introvert, extrovert is pretty well understood as far as, you know, although I think we look at it as, well, extrovert means they're super energetic and introvert means they're shy. I think that that's changing, right? More people are thinking, you know, introvert means that they just recharge by themselves, right? It doesn't mean that they're going to be like, no, I don't want to go to that party. They might go to the party, but feel like leaving the party a little sooner and recharging or something like that, right?
Right.
So yeah, go ahead.
I'm someone who prefers introversion, but I was always mistaken my whole life. And I perceived myself as an extrovert because I love people and it's really important to me to maintain my friendships. And so I spend a lot of time and put a lot of effort into my social life. And like you said, it has more to do with, you know, how you recharge. The best way to think of Myers-Briggs preferences, and there's another level beyond Myers-Briggs preferences, just so everyone knows, it's called the cognitive functions. And that's kind of the meat of Myers-Briggs, the most interesting stuff, but it's easier to stay high level with the preferences. The best way to think of them is handedness. So like, are you right-handed or are you left-handed? Which one are you?
I'm right-handed.
Right-handed. So, if I took away your right hand for the day and you had to use just your left hand all day long, what would that feel like?
Really awkward.
Yeah, awkward. And, and if you had to do it for a week, what would it feel like at the end of the week? How would that week feel compared to a week where you got to use your right hand?
It would be more challenging. I wonder by the end of the week, would my left hand become more adapted to doing things? But mostly it would just be a huge learning curve.
Yeah. Yeah. If you think about, if you tie that to the Myers-Briggs preferences, all of us can use introversion or extroversion. We all have to be human. I mean, you have to interact with the world outside of you. You also have to go inside and think through things and do some introspection. You can't function without doing both, and we can all do both, but everyone has a natural preference for one or the other. And if you think about, if you couldn't use your natural preference one, and if you're using the other one all day, all week, it would probably feel pretty exhausting and frustrating. You're like, oh, I just want to go back to using my preferred function, just like with the handedness. And so that's a really great way to look at the Myers-Briggs preferences. And it's a good way to look at introversion versus extroversion. If I was just extroverting all week long, oh my gosh, I couldn't. I would start getting snappy. I'd start snapping at my husband. I'd be like, I just need some time alone.
Yeah. It would be exhausting.
Yes.
Wow. That's a really good way to put it. I like that a lot. So it's like almost you need to find ways to honor that side of you if you are in that position, right? If you have to go to work all day and be an extrovert, but you're naturally an introvert, or you prefer being an introvert, you know, there has to be a way to like recover, right?
Yeah,
so that you
sure.
Get that place where you're like, I can regroup and go back to it again tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Like, or maybe you take lunch alone at your desk and then, you know, when you get home, it's, you know, you're alone in your room reading, or after you put the kids to bed, you're just like, time to myself for these 2 hours, you know?
Yeah, that would help a lot. So I love that. That's a cool explanation. So how does that fit with the other components of Myers-Briggs? What are the other ones? Like introvert, extrovert is so well known, but what are the other opposing types.
Yeah. One of the other ones that's somewhat easy for people to access and understand is the thinking versus feeling one. Mm-hmm. And that's, I don't want people to get stuck on the labels for it. Just because you're a feeler doesn't mean you can't think and you're not smart and you don't use logic. And just because you are a thinker doesn't mean you don't have feelings and that you don't care about people's feelings. Sometimes people get stuck on that because of the labels. What the thinking versus feeling deals with is how we make decisions. And again, keep in mind that we use both, but we just have a preference for one or the other. So when we make decisions, if we use thinking, let's start with feeling. If we use feeling, we really care either about our own values and feelings on the matter or about others' values and feelings on the matter. And that's where we get into cognitive functions, whether it's our own or others, but mm-hmm. Well, that's a little too deep for right now. And I lost my train of thought.
So values based on yours and others' values.
Right. So when you're making a decision, is your first instinct to make the decision based on your values or other people's feelings on the matter? Or if you're a thinker, do you prefer to step out of the situation, scrap all the feelings and personal stuff, and just make decisions with objective logic? And everyone has learned how to do both in order to adapt to society.
Weigh out the options. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's just going to be harder and more uncomfortable for you to do your non-preferred. So like, for example, I prefer feeling. And I went into the career world and I got really good at doing those logical step out of the situation to make decisions using complete objective logic. But boy, did it feel really uncomfortable when I had to do something that I knew someone else wasn't going to like really, really, really hurts me at my core. Every time I have to do that, I would much prefer to please the people around me. Like that just feels so much, it just resonates with me so much more.
Wow. So then if your child is like a feeler, they're the type of kids that are kind of people pleasers? Is that what?
Yeah,
that
they means? Can be people pleasers. Again, there's two different types of feelers. So some of them are more people pleasers. Some are just going with their own passion and their own, like they march to the beat of their own drum. My daughter is that kind. Yeah. And your feelers are going to be your really sensitive children. And that's one thing I really like to point out for parents, especially if you have parents who aren't feelers or were raised in a way that sensitivity is not okay, which a lot of us were. We're, raised like, stop crying. You don't need to cry. You toughen up, especially boys, right? Mm-hmm. And so that can be hard to adapt to your kid who is very sensitive and is crying a lot, gets their feelings hurt really easily. But it's really important to understand that when I correct my daughter, if we raise our voice at all, even the slightest bit, she just breaks right down. Mm-hmm. And for her, she's something called an introverted feeler, which is that's one of the cognitive functions. And when there is tension between her and someone else, her automatic reaction is that there's a severing of connection. This person doesn't love me anymore.
Wow.
That's the core thing that's happening behind that sensitivity. So when you can understand that and clue into that and understand that when I'm correcting my child, my introverted feeling child, I need to touch her. I need to look her in the eyes. I need to say, I'm not okay that you did that. I still love you. I will always love you. And like the constant reassurances of unconditional love are really important for that child. And then there's the other type of feeling, which is me. And when extroverted feeling children, when there's tension, they look at themselves as a reflection of everyone else's opinions. Oh. So when there's conflict or someone is giving them criticism or correcting them, their automatic like base reaction is, I'm not worthy. I'm not good because this person's yelling at me. So to have the empathy that's that core emotion that's going on and say, I don't like what you did, but you're a really great kid. I always love you. You know, those constant reassurances and like the physical touch, the love, just constant showing of love and reassurance is really, really vital for those feeling children.
Wow. That's so inspiring, because I hear about so many people like, how do I discipline without, you know, there's, or families just avoiding discipline altogether because it's just, you know, we're this helicopter parenting generation of trying to protect our children from everything. But I think that if you understand that correcting and discipline is not, it doesn't have to be this like punishment or this, right. You know, I'm not trying to destroy my child because of this or that. I just want to help them and correct them.
Yeah.
And I like that this approach is very, like we said, you've said empathetic. It's a very empathetic approach. We want to be able to, you know, take it from their perspective. How could I approach my child so that they know that I still love them, but that we still want to nurture and, you know, instruct and guide, yes, and, you know, all those kinds of things, that it's not the end of the world if they did something. And, you know, being able to examine our personalities and saying, how did that impact my personality? You know, 'cause I think sometimes, I mean, I listen to a lot of different programs and it's like, you know, sometimes we hear things that happen, even if our child has done it, through our own filter, right?
Mm-hmm, totally.
And so it's like, I think it's important as parents to remember that we have our own filters, our own personalities, the things that we see and we hear, that even when our child has done it, to pause and go, okay, what filter am I listening to this through, or something, before responding to what the child has done, so that we can, like I said in the beginning, be proactive rather than just reacting to our own filter and the language that we, or the, you know, the responses that we hear and want to regurgitate. It's like, no, take a step back.
Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to do. Like,
yeah.
Really hard. 'Cause I have things that trigger me, and you know, you have to remember, okay, this is my trigger. This is my problem. This is not my kid's problem. And it's a really hard thing to do.
Wow. Wow. That's hard to do anyway. Okay. So, that's awesome though, like to think about, but how do you do it? If you have like multiple kids and, you know, trying to keep track of all of, you know, feeling, thinking, judging, sensing, introvert, extrovert, you know, what do you have, like some kind of tracking system or some way like to be like, okay, I know my child is that, let me take notes, or I don't know.
Well, like, what I have you do is you put their personality type on their shirt. So you always see it. I'm just kidding.
Like, all right. No.
That might actually work for a little bit. I have not ever done that, but what I do is I take people through, and my favorite thing to do is work with an entire family at once. That's not always how we do it. Sometimes we just do one kid who maybe you're having an extra hard time understanding, or just one adult who just wants to understand themselves and their parenting better. But when I get to work with a whole family, that's really fun. That's where I really get excited. And I do like comparison tables between the personality types, so you can compare and you can understand like, oh, me and my son connect in this way and we have this in common, whereas me and my daughter are complete opposites in this regard. And that can help you put it in perspective, and it'll help you remember, this is how I need to be with this child, this is how I need to be with this child.
Wow. That's awesome. So that makes a lot of sense to just get that ingrained in your head. Oh, we're similar, we're different. And that, that's really amazing. Wow. So thank you so much, Sandra, for being on my show and talking about this. Is so important to our family culture, that we are intentional, that we are understanding each other and approaching our relationships with empathy and with that emotional intelligence, right? About and social intelligence, that we can still approach each other with love and compassion and empathy, rather than always butting heads and going, why are we butting heads? So thank you so much for bringing this to our attention and talking through this with us. And tell us one more time your website so we can go find you, and your Instagram handle.
Mm-hmm. familypersonalities.com. And if you're interested in just talking really quick about whether this works for you, you can go right to book an appointment, select intro consult, and you can have a free 20-minute consult, and we'll just talk it through. My Instagram handle is familypersonalities, and I post a ton of stuff on there. It's really fun.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you so much, Sandra. I loved having you. Thank you so much for my listeners. I loved having you, and be sure to come and join me every Friday on Facebook at facebook.com/JodyChafee and come and join my group that's facebook.com/groups/family culture strategies, because in the future I will be moving these interviews into my Facebook group. So they will only be available inside of there until I post them out to syndication of, in iTunes and all that kind of stuff. So if you want to catch it live, you got to join the group. Awesome. So I'll see you all inside the group. Thank you so much, Sandra. Thank you so much for your work and what you do.
Thank you.